website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Trusted voices with solid teaching and talk.
This is The Truth, 91.7 FM.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and the discussion as we face the issues each and every day. We'll be dealing with an issue today that I believe is on the hearts, the minds, and the thoughts of every citizen in America, every Christian, every conservative, in particular in our nation today. We're talking about a subject, an issue that I believe we should consider. How should Christians and conservatives celebrate the inauguration of President Donald J. Trump? I say that, and I got the thinking about this question as watching some of the Fox News and other news outlets. And it seemed to be many of the news anchors, they were almost a giggly, response and talking about being at the inauguration and how they were going to get to go to this bar, that bar, the other bar, whatever it may be. And there was a mindset that it was just be a, rejoicing with a bottle of booze, if I can put it, just plain country boy, simple. Is that the way we're going to celebrate this inauguration as Christians and conservatives? Is that how we ought to celebrate it? What should we do? Ladies and gentlemen, today in America and across the nation, all Americans, as we're witnessing the inauguration of President Donald J. Trump, our 47th president, millions are going to gather in their homes, their home states, in special locations, perhaps, across our nation, and have various types of celebration. Yeah, there are others, ladies and gentlemen, that's pulling the hair out, hair on fire, wondering what they can do, how they can hide. In fact, there's a push in D.C. to cut the work week to 32 hours. There's a push by the Biden administration to Trump-proof every department. I'm told with some of the articles that I've read on that some 47 to 52% of all of the bureaucracies in D.C., there's already been some special secret things, secret sauce, if you will, mixed into their schedule to make sure that they will not follow what Trump says. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, one made such a profound statement, said that Trump would make decisions, but they would have the final decision on whether or not they think, those departments, think that it would be good for America. So in other words, there's a mindset with the heels dug in D.C. That the bureaucracy is saying that we're going to make the final decision, not the president. We're going to have our way and not the president. And so we have a two sides to this coin called the inauguration and what is taking place. In fact, I find it fascinating that the FBI just got through shutting down, cleaning out the house, if you will, of the Department of Diversity and Equity and Inclusion, the DEI. Trump has said that's going to stop across the nation. So we're seeing the Trump effect take place even before his election or his inauguration, that is. So how should we respond? What do we do as Christians and as conservatives? We're going to talk about that today, and after a brief monologue, we're going to open the telephone lines and allow you to call in, join in the dialogue and discussion. What do you think? How do you think the Christians, conservatives, need to celebrate in America? What should be our response is the basic thought. if I use the term that I've used so often in Ezekiel 33:10, how should we then live? So as Christians, conservatives, knowing that what Trump has said, how should we live? How should we celebrate his inauguration? We'll talk about that today in just a few moments as our telephone lines are opened so that you can call in. Lest I forget it, let me remind you that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. That is the truth book that we ought to stand upon. In fact, I've said many, many times down through the years that everything that we see, local, state, national, international, we need to view it, analyze it, look at it through the prism of the word of God. God's word's already told us what is going to take place. We as Christians in particular know where this whole world is going. We know how it's all going to wrap up. We know who wins in the end, if you will. But in the interim, we have the privilege and the opportunity to have the celebration in relationship to the Trump inauguration. And I pray that you'll be celebrating from a biblical view. That's what we'll talk about today. Jesus says in John 8:31 and 32, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Further in John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made about the word of God. The Bible says, "Thy word is truth." Psalms 117, verse 2 says, "The truth of the Lord endures forever." And may I remind us that there's no bifurcation of truth and no slicing away at the facts of truth without it destroying the real truth. It was the secularist George Orwell that said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, more it will hate those who speak it." And ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to remind you that truth matters regardless of what side of the aisle you're on. Truth matters whether you're Liz Cheney or whether you're Joe Biden or Jill Biden. Are the interrogators now that's trying to ascertain whether or not Trump's appointees should be approved? In fact, I find it absolutely disingenuous when some of those interrogators are asking questions and challenging appointees how they should respond and what they should say or what they should do in relationship to their being asked questions about confirmation. Ladies and gentlemen, most younger Americans, according to the latest survey, said there's no absolute truth. In fact, they go on to say that 55% of the millennials say that each person determines their own version of truth. There's not but one version of truth, and that's truth. You can't bifurcate it, change it. I've said a half-truth is a whole lie, and we need to recognize that and come to grips with it and stand on truth. It was the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus, says this: "Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death." May that be our challenge. May that be the mantra. May the, if you want to use the term, the modus operandi that we have as Christians, that we seek the truth. By the way, you won't find that on the Communist Network News. You won't find that from Chuck Schumer. Won't even find that from Mitch McConnell. We need to seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and be willing to stand and defend the truth even to death. That is so needed in our society today. Can't emphasize it enough. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of the homeowner brand like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. And Tools for Time carries the full line of Honda generators. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment, and Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. It's right at the intersection of I-295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a benchmark, an identifier right at the intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road on the campus of Tools for Time is a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole is the U.S. flag flowing 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole, the base of the flagpole, ladies and gentlemen. You'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm delighted to have with me today. We're going to do a trilogy on this broadcast today. We've got Dr. Phelps with us. We've got Dr. Davis with us today. The three of us are going to talk about this subject. I believe it is that important. We need to understand what I believe God would have us to do as Christians and as conservatives in celebrating this inauguration. Dr. Phelps, Dr. Davis, thank you so much for joining me on this, what I call, very, very, very important broadcast today.
Thank you so much, Dr. Youngblood, and I certainly am very grateful, amen, on this Friday morning. I have a treat I've received this morning that I didn't expect.
What's that?
I got a double treat. You and Dr. Phelps.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. Two men that I really love, and I enjoy being in their company because I know, beyond the shadow of a doubt, I can see the fruit of God, the fruit of the Spirit, in each of your lives.
Amen.
And I thank God for that. There's not many that I can say that about.
Amen.
And really mean it from the heart. And I don't have to make this up. This is another good thing. You know, sometimes you want to say some good things about people and it gets to be kind of iffy.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to call it lies, but if you're not telling the truth, it is a lie.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of twisting it.
But I thank God that I don't have to lie when I speak things about you and Dr. Phelps, places I go and the people I know, and I tell them about CTU and, you know, all the great work that you're doing here and Dr. Phelps as well, and how each of you have poured into my life, and God has allowed us to work together as one.
Amen.
I thank God for the Christian love, because it's not based on race or anything like that.
Amen.
Because we have to understand that if we don't get it together down here, we're not going up there.
That's right. Amen.
So let's make sure we understand that. And this is what we're trying to pass along to our people that are listening on today, so that we can keep that Christian biblical worldview.
Amen.
Because it's going to be us that will set the framework for ethical thinking all throughout society. And listen, I have one verse of scripture here that I circled in my Bible that will certainly support some of the things that, you know, we're going to talk about today. I want to say good morning to my bride of going on 39 years now, and all of my family and friends that are listening. Amen.
Time's flying.
Amen. So I thank God for everyone. But I'm going to read just one verse from Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse number 17. It says, "Blessed art thou, O land," talking about the USA in this case, mm-hmm, "when thy king is the son of nobles, and thy princes eat in due season for strength and not for drunkenness."
Mm-hmm.
For too long, I think, we've been bewitched.
It's a good term.
By so many out there, especially in this administration,
mm-hmm,
that we're trying to put over immoral values into society, putting them in the form of laws and forcing them upon us. And it's a shame to say it, but many in the church sold out.
That's right.
For that. And as a result, many churches have closed,
mm-hmm,
and have not reopened as of yet.
That's right.
But yet I thank God for the faithful few like us who stood on the word of God.
Amen.
And we refused to be bought out.
That's right.
We didn't take the wooden nickels, like the old people used to call it.
That's right.
That was offered by these people that are out there enforcing all these things that ought not to be upon society, especially Christians.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me make sure you understand who I'm talking about. I'm not talking about somebody that recognized CHRIST in the Bible and say, "I'm a Christian."
Mm-hmm.
Or JESUS and say, "Yes, that's Jesus, that's the Son of God." I'm talking about the blood-washed, born-again people that are a part of the universal body of Christ,
right,
here on earth. Not the church building sitting on the corner.
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody that's going to that building is not going to be saved.
Right.
Sad to say.
Right.
Amen. But we want you to come to reality on today. Listen at what we have to say, and I'm sure that you're going to be able to pull something away from this and come to realize that we have been blessed. I call it a second chance.
Amen. Amen.
We have received the second chance.
A reprieve.
Amen.
I think that's where we are.
And you know, Dr. Youngblood, you and I sat and we examined, you know, we looked at, I think I brought you a printout one time, how many churches right here in Jacksonville took government money.
Yep.
And they were not able to say anything.
That's right.
Pastors couldn't do anything. There was nothing that they could do to resist what was going on out there because they had taken the bribe money.
That's right. Absolutely.
So let's make sure we understand it's very important today for us to take advantage of this moment that God has blessed us to be able to observe at this particular time.
Dr. Phelps, we're at a historic benchmark in America with the inauguration. Very briefly, and we'll get into some nuts and bolts of it, give us your insight, biblical thoughts in relationship to where we are and how blessed we are as a nation to come to this point in time.
One of the great things that I have learned is that God works through prayer.
That's right.
I believe that the election and inauguration of President Trump is an answer to prayer, the prayer of believing Christians.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So I want to join the team that's on God's side.
Amen. I like that.
And I want to be for the administration that's interested in serving God and preserving our constitutional republic.
Amen.
Preserving America as it was originally intended to be.
Amen.
I'm glad to be an American. But I want to say what the David wrote in Psalm 32, verse 11.
Amen.
Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. We have things to praise God for today. I think we need to give God the praise, give God the honor.
Amen.
Because it's His work. I believe that God has done this, as you said just a few minutes ago, to give America a reprieve. And I'm praying every day that God would preserve our constitutional republic, preserve America and our freedoms until Jesus comes.
Amen. I like that. That's a good thing.
Amen.
I like that.
Amen.
I believe we have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go with your question or comment, please.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, good morning. I hope you're well.
Oh, I am. Thank God. I remember Crazy Joe said that it's going to be a small transfer of power. And this man lied the side of his neck all his life. And he's put traps for Trump because Putin told Joe Biden, if you send arms to Ukraine, that means you're attacking us too because they could get into Russia. He put so many traps out there for Trump. And I'd like to, sir, say, Dr. Youngblood, if the Democrats could burn America down, they want to rule over the ashes. And that's what I see coming up on the horizon. But I think our president will cut it off, nip it in the bud, as they used to say.
Kenneth, you're exactly right, spot on with the thought. One of the things that I'm interested in, concerned about today, as we think about the inauguration, is this very fact. I believe the number of Christian conservatives that can see what God has done and how God has answered our prayer for divine intervention in the election, I believe that number is minuscule. I believe we find today that so many Christian conservatives just think, well, this happened, it took place, God gave us the election, or that the election took place, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I believe we're witnessing an era where God has placed Trump in office. It's just as I was saying to Dr. Davis and Dr. Phelps a few moments ago before we went on the air, where we can look at what is taking place. And it reminds me of Esther in Esther chapter 4, verse 14. Who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? I believe that what God has done in electing President Donald J. Trump is putting him in an office for a time like this. I don't know of any other potential candidacy that could have been more appropriate, more beneficial and needful at a time like this than Donald J. Trump. And I'm praying that our listening audience today, Kenneth, will recognize the enormity of this inauguration, and will celebrate by praising God, not praising man, and not placing our hope and trust in man, but placing our hope and trust in nothing less than Jesus Christ and his righteousness, and praising him and thanking him for what he's done in this intervention in this election. Kenneth, keep praying, keep looking up, thanking the Lord for what he's done in this election. Thank you so much for your call. I believe we have another caller on the line. Go with the question or comment, please.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you today?
I'm doing great. I pray you are.
Hey, Brother Jim.
Brother Davis. I'd like to address your statement that you first spoke whenever you came on to the air in your monologue there in regards to members of the press and they're selecting bars. I'm struggling right now because I can't open my Bible because I'm driving. I'm struggling right now to recall. I know that Bacchanal and Bacchus are Roman and Greek gods of literally drunkenness and party. And I was asking, I want to ask you gentlemen there if you could address where those passages are in the Bible as far as Bacchanal, you know, a big drunken party and the celebration of man instead of a celebration of Christ.
I will do this. I'll divert to Dr. Phelps, then Dr. Davis, and I'll wrap it up with that question and thought. Dr. Phelps?
Yes, sir. I believe that our praise and our worship of God should be wholly sanctified. Drunken parties are not appropriate celebrations for believing Christians. It may be the way of the heathen, but it's not the way of God's people. In Daniel chapter 4, we read about Belshazzar, the king. This would be the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar. And in the Bible, in chapter 5 of Daniel, we read about that. His grandson, Belshazzar, appears to have learned nothing from what happened to Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar, just prior to this event, was praising God for what God had done. And he had been chastened by the Lord, and he gave God the glory for what God had done in his life. He says, at the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my Lord sought unto me. And I was established in my kingdom, and the excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride, he's able to abase. And the next verse in the Bible is chapter 5. It says, Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords, and drank wine before the thousands. Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the gold and silver vessels from his father Nebuchadnezzar that he had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes and their wives and their concubines might drink therein. And they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was in Jerusalem, and the king and his princes and his wives and his concubines drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver and of brass, of iron, wood, stone. And so I chose that passage to show you that I believe that Belshazzar actually behaved in a manner that was idolatrous and insulting before God. It was not appropriate activity, is not appropriate behavior. His inappropriate behavior resulted in the loss of his kingdom. It was a sacrilege. It was a desecration of the temple vessels that had been dedicated to a holy God. He dishonored God. And so he lost his kingdom. He lost his life. And Darius the Mede was inaugurated as king after him.
Absolutely. So it, the Bible
you
is...
You're trying to tell me that he saw the writing on the wall, Doctor?
He saw the writing on the wall.
Absolutely. And Jim, I can put a little footnote to that. Let me just touch on a subject that's touchy for many. And it kind of gets me a little uptight when I see a professing Christian talking about with glee going into a bar and drinking booze. In fact, there was a debate on with some of the commentators this morning. I believe it was on Fox talking about one of the people they had interviewed, whether it was brandy or whether it was some other alcoholic beverage, and which one was the better, et cetera, et cetera, and how they were going to participate. There's approximately 100 verses in the Bible that says for the Old Testament, for example, for the God-fearer, that you cannot participate in alcoholic beverages. And in the New Testament, for the Christian, you cannot participate. In fact, I'm looking at Genesis 9, 20 through 26. Noah became drunk, and the result was immorality and brought about major problems in his family. Genesis 19, 30 through 38, Lot was so drunk he didn't know what was going on, which led to a total immoral relationship with his two daughters. Proverbs 20, verse 1, wine is a mark of strong drink is raging. And I could go on and on and on, Jim. And I just am bothered when I see professing Christians talk about that because it's so antithetical with a Christian life. And when you look at Proverbs chapter 29 and see what takes place with fermented drink, with alcoholic beverages, it is a horrible thought. And yet, for the most part, I think across America, the conservatives, professing Christians, etc., will join in that big group of thinking that's the proper celebration. And I believe the celebration that I'm looking for, that I'm praying for, that I'm seeking to impress upon the hearts and the minds of the listener today is the celebration with prayer, thanksgiving, praising God for delivering Trump into the office, praising God for protecting him and preserving him out of at least three attempted assassinations. We need to pray and praise God and thank him for Trump's commitments and ask God to give him the wisdom, the insight, the preservation to carry out what he's made a commitment to America for. Dr. Davis, I can tell you want to say something.
Well, you know, I mean, Dr. Youngblood, it's simple. I mean, Christians, I'm going to say that again. Mm-hmm. Those who believe in all 66 books of this book that we call the Bible.
Amen.
To believe that they are in error, without error, infallible. Mm-hmm. They are God-breathing, God-inspired, and it is the truth. It's the Word of God. We can try to explain it away all we want. But God has spoken out against immorality many times. Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, my mind went forward. That's why you saw me turning to the book of Revelation, where the great whore that sits on the throne was drunken with the blood of the saints. And God told the saints, or rather, he spoke to that in Revelation, come out from among them and be not partakers of their sins. Mm-hmm. Because, and let me read that, because I was just reading through that just for a minute. Here's what he had to say. He said, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people. This is Revelation 18 and 4. That ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her, double according to her works. In the cup which she has filled, to fill to her double. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow. So now he's speaking to the church,
Warning
them about what can happen if they become partakers of the people that are going to be sinning in those days,
When
the days of judgment are getting ready to fall upon the earth.
Absolutely. It should be a warning.
I mean, I'm going to say a little bit more.
It should be a warning for us even today.
Right.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take the top of the hour news break. Right after the news, we'll come back as we continue to face the issues.
Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ Orange Park, WAYL St. Augustine,